Now, last Friday, President Biden came out in support of the Senate's deal, which we haven't seen yet. There's no text yet, but from what we've heard, this so-called deal does not include these transformational policy changes that are needed to actually stop the border catastrophe. Among the reported details of the bill, again, I'm working off reports because I haven't seen the text, but apparently, reportedly, a new authority would be created in the law so the president can, quote, shut down the border once daily crossings exceed 5,000 a day. You heard that right. Okay, so it is illegal to cross our border, but apparently we're concocting some sort of deal to allow the president to shut down the border after 5,000 people break the law. Why is it 5,000? If you add that up, that'd be a million more illegals into our country every year before we take remedial measures. It's madness. We should be asking what kind of enforcement authority kicks in at 5,000 illegal crossings a day. The number should be zero. Zero. And I don't care what congressional district you go into in America, pull up people at random on the street and ask them, hey, should we allow 5,000 people to break our law each day to get a million into the country, or should we stop it at zero and enforce our law? It's mad. I don't know another word to describe this. It's madness. Anything higher is simply surrender. Anything higher than zero is surrendering our border, surrendering our sovereignty and our security.
Well, that's what it is. But the way that the media has been talking about this, they act like, I read this piece this morning. I think it was either at Axios, maybe it was a Daily Beast, but they're acting like, oh my gosh, this is the best chance that Republicans have in for a million years in order to get any kind of border stuff done. And they're going to totally punt. And the way that they're trying so hard to pressure these guys into caving on this, it's so sad. Welcome back to the show. Welcome to the show, rather. I am still hardcore on the struggle bus. Your girl's on the struggle bus. Your girl's got a speech to give tonight, too. So, yeah. But it's Thursday. We're almost there. But it's the SHOT Show stuff is what it is. Kane's fine now. I hate you.
I wouldn't say I'm fine now. You know, I still have.
Why do I feel like I've been hit by a Mack truck and you don't?
I guess I'm just covering it up better than you. I don't know.
I swear you're going
to
sit here.
I'm not the one that has to be on the
probiotics.
That's actually probably the difference.
I'm waiting for it.
That's scientifically probably the difference.
Yeah. So welcome to the show, Dana Lash here with you. Top of this very first hour this Thursday, and a lot, like I said, a lot to get into because I was telling you about the border bill. With the House and all that stuff. We were talking about that yesterday because it's, they're really going to pressure. They're really, really going to try to pressure these guys to get this done. And it's a turd sandwich. I don't know how else to put it to you. That's exactly what it is. But we got a lot to hit. All of the latest with immigration, 2024. We got some culture. There was a big victory yesterday with Disney. I mean, victories can be had. So we're going to jump into all of that. And then I'm going to pay special attention to a story that I wasn't actually going to talk about because it had to do with a congressional race in Texas. And I don't get into a lot of the nitty gritty primary stuff, especially with different congressional races. But this is an overarching story that I've seen and I've seen become a problem in a number of different states. When you have people who aren't conservative and they aren't registered, they're brand new Republicans, like, but they're still pretty much like leftists, but they just figured out a way to try to make money on the right and try to grift people. When they decide to get involved in races and make it to where Democrats have an easier time of winning, because these people are all they care about is just raising money and making bank. That's all it is. And so this has come to my attention because some people decided to get froggy. So we're going to deep dive into this and talk about it. Now, please know that every single time I go to air with something, I already have receipts. People can choose how stupid they want to be with it, but I'm just so tired of this stuff. And I'm tired of good people who work to death to pay their bills in this Biden economy only to get taken advantage of by people who don't actually share their values and only pretend to be on the right. I'm so tired of this. I have spent my entire professional career fighting these people. So that's one of the reasons why I helped co-create the modern Tea Party movement. And so the fight never ends. It never ends. So we're going to talk about this. So we got a lot to hit today as we roll towards. And again, I appreciate all the kind words and the kind prayers too about, and I'll talk about Rocco later, but especially about this, because you guys were like, oh my gosh, Dana, you sound like you're dying. I know. I'm aware. Actually, I think I sound tougher. I want to like re-record all my imaging because I feel like I sound way tougher like this, doesn't it?
Yeah, sometimes your voice does go a little register lower and you do sound a little tougher sometimes.
I feel like I sound like I've been in a bar fight.
We should schedule some of your recordings when that does happen.
Yeah, so all of our sponsors out there, when I sound like this, this is when I'm tough. This is when I sound super tough, right? All right, so let's dive into it. All right, first and foremost, we got the border battle. They were I put this in the rundown. Actually, that went out this morning, I believe. I put this in the rundown this morning because they were trying to sort of separate some of the. They were trying to separate some of the stuff that they have going in this thing, because one of the big things was, oh, we want to have our Ukraine funding, et cetera, et cetera. But Johnson says, yeah, we're going to try to split all of this stuff, not because he wants to pass it separately, but because he just wants to get some kind of border bill passed. That's what he's looking to do. He just wants to get an border bill passed. That's it. So I don't think that that's taking the L on something. I saw a couple of folks kind of present that as a possibility. I think that they thought that that would pressure Johnson to do the other. You want it to be split. I don't know why you can't have a clean border bill in the first place. That's kind of a major problem with us. I mean, you have to be able to have a clean border bill. All tacking all of this other stuff on is just stupid. So the Senate deal, the Senate deal wanted to put the Ukraine aid with any kind of changes, but the House was like, look, you guys do this. You guys insist on having this attached and it will be DOA. You hear us? DOA. And that's the impasse that they're at now. And that's why you have the media pushing really, really hard to try to make it like this is all just House Republicans that are stopping this. I'm actually looking at some of that. The narrative went out. I mean, they got their talking points. They totally have the narrative that's out. But that's not the reality of the situation. I mean, they're simply trying to say let's separate it. Let's have a clean bill. And if you're insistent on trying to do anything with Ukraine, you need to make that a standalone thing. That's all it's been. But Biden, he's pushing for this. They think that this is somehow, including the Ukrainian stuff, that this is somehow an actual bipartisan provision. It's not. So they said that one of the other points of contention in this deal is that the executive branch, they said, well, we're only going to stop illegal immigration we're only going to stop that if it exceeds 5,000 per day. 5,000 per day. If it exceeds 5,000 per day. That's a lot per day. We had 293,000 plus in December alone. That again, that was just December. 5,000. So they said, look, there should be a much lower threshold if we're going to do this. And I don't think there should be a threshold at all, but I get it. You got to start somewhere.
We're there.
I mean, we're at five. Aren't we at 5,000 a day?
5,000 a day is what? 150,000 a month?
Yeah.
So if December was 290 plus thousand for that month.
Well, and I even think it's actually over three. They think with the gotaways that it's over 309 was what. That was the figure from Border Patrol.
That's still more than 5,000 a day.
Yeah, so it should. I mean, just shut it down now. What's the harm of shutting it down now? My gosh, it's. You know, one of the things I was talking to, a conservative friend, international business, and they were saying that the Mexican business owners are getting mad at Mexico because of the way that this is being handled. Here's what I mean. Do you remember when they still have a number of the crossings reduced, but do you remember when they shut the border down to even goods coming across the border? And that made it really difficult for a lot of businesses on the U.S. side to get stuff. It made it really difficult for businesses on the Mexico side to send over produce and other things. One of the people that I talked to, they actually work with, I thought this was a fascinating thing. They actually work with tequila companies with agave sourcing, which I think is brilliant. I could have talked about that all day. But what they were saying is that it's so difficult, a lot of these businesses, for them to get there because they had to redirect all of the resources to, you know, from these crossing points to the where they have these the mass illegal aliens coming across, you know, the more shallower parts of the Rio. And they've had, as a result, had to shut down, you know, some of these entry points. And that made it to where the lines are really long, or they only accept X amount per day, et cetera, et cetera. And it's really affecting a lot of the businesses on the Mexico side. So there's discontent that's bubbling up there. And they said they have like produce that's just rotting. They have product that's like sitting and just sitting out there in the sun. I mean, it's things are getting ruined. That's going to be detrimental to their economy. Money talks. So at some point, it's going to force the issue. But this idea that, oh, we're only going to halt it if the crossings exceed 5,000 per day is asinine. Absolutely asinine. And as Kane said, that's kind of where we are now. Like, what did we have just last week? Wasn't it over? Yeah. It was like over 5,000 per day, I thought, last week. Yeah. I mean, when you factor in, because the left loves to pick at this, and they're in the comments, and yes, when you include the gotaways in it, though, it absolutely pushes it up. So this is the line that they need to hold. They really need to hold this. I mean it's so frustrating. So Kathy Hochul suggesting to deporting illegal immigrants who attacked the cops near Times Square. We had this story yesterday because they were just released. Yeah, they were just allowed to walk. So she's actually, I mean, they're having to really change their footing on this issue. And we're going to follow this a little bit more. We're also going to look at some of the latest happening with Iran, and also the whole situation with CEOs, the tech CEOs, and the hearing that was yesterday. I have a piece that came out. There was something that stuck out to me. The idea of going after tech companies and forcing them to assume responsibility for any illegal or, you know, criminal, whatever, irresponsible misuse of their product is the same formula as going after firearms manufacturers when you have a tragedy because someone criminally misuses their product. It is the same formula. It's a different variable. And we're going to have a conversation about all of that. We also have the latest, like I said, with 2024 and Biden repositioning himself on Israel. So we got a lot of stuff to hit. Our partners help bring you free radio. It's our friends over at Wise Foods. And Wise Foods wants to make sure that you don't have to worry about where your next meal is going to come from. If heaven forbid anything goes sideways, you don't want to have to worry about what you and your family are going to eat. So that's where Wise Foods storage comes in. They have a buy one, get one free discount on a 72-hour food kit. When you visit wisefoodstorage.com, you just type in Dana in the search bar. And then what that does is it gets you access to all of these exclusive deals that they're offering right now on all of Wise Food Storage's best-selling products. So the 72-hour food kit, buy one, get one, $100 value for $50, two boxes, 12 pouches of premium survival food, 11,120 total calories in each kit, 25-year shelf life as well, everything high-quality U.S. ingredients. They also have their heirloom seed vault, which I think is just as important, 39 variety of seeds, non-hybrid, non-GMO, open-pollinated heirloom varieties. And every kit contains more than 4,500 seeds with a 10-year shelf life. Order yours today at wisefoodstorage.com. Just type in Dana in the search bar. Get exclusive deals like the buy one, get one on that 72-hour food kit. Again, wisefoodstorage.com, code Dana. Use Dana in the search bar.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Florida residents who identify as transgender are barred from changing their gender on driver's licenses because you can't lie on government docs, guys. I mean, you can't. You can't lie on a government. You can't be like, oh, no, I'm actually a... We're going to talk about this more because the reaction to this is insane. You can't lie on that stuff. I mean, that's, you know, why is that so shocking? Gang, this is... I can't... Man, poor Steve. He lives in D.C. He's got to live with us. Gang-related music videos are being accused of driving gun violence in D.C. So, a new report says that D.C. gang members that are making music videos taunting their rivals on social media are the now primary drivers of gun violence, quote-unquote gun violence, in the nation's capital. I mean, it's still criminal misuse. That's the driver. But they're saying that they're now incorporating, making music videos as part of it. That's like, I mean, who needs diss tracks on MTV anymore, I guess, you know? Like, who? You just do it yourself. The Criminal Justice Coordinating Council, it's this independent government agency. They were the ones who interviewed more than 70 Metro police officers. And what, okay, I need to ask that. What is a violence interrupter? That's like an actual, Steve, you're in DC. That's a thing. A violence interrupter. I'm here to interrupt the violence. Really? Thwack. That's how that goes. Thwack. You're here to, your violence interruption was just interrupted. I feel like that's probably like a difficult to ensure position. Incredible maps reveal where in the body different types of music are felt, from sad songs in your chest to happy tunes in your toes. This is, I don't know who did this. Do you really need to know this information? Do you need this brain space to store this? Do you really? Or maybe could you use it for something else? I don't know. But they said scientists have done the study. They've revealed where in the body different types of music are felt. Okay, that's great. The messenger, they shut down. They're gone. And apparently they didn't tell any of the staff before they totally flamed out. Yeah, they just literally just closed. It was less than a year after they opened. 300 people out of a job. Part of this is because these digital entities start up and they expand so fast that they cannot keep up with the overhead, and their content doesn't match the overhead, or the traffic doesn't match the overhead. And they do it so, this happens so often in the digital space. So a woman pees in the aisle of a Florida flight. She is charged. She actually, were the bathrooms occupied? It was a Philadelphia woman. She's 60 years old. And it was on a flight from Orlando to Philly. The U.S. Attorney's Office for Pennsylvania announced. So she's being charged. And speaking of being charged, or rather not, do you remember the dude who made the gay romantical X-rated video in the Capitol? Yeah, that guy's not getting charged. Nobody's getting charged. We're going to talk. Yeah, wait till you hear about this. We're going to talk about that when we come back. That's what J6ers should have said. They should have said they were just there to make a porno. Stick with us. I had my Black Rifle coffee already this morning to help clear my head. It's just the best coffee that you can get. Veteran-owned and operated company. They make the best coffee out there. Everything else sucks. Everything else is just bad. It's just the way it is. Black Rifle coffee is so good. The roasts are amazing. Taste is great. I like the Silencer Smooth. I think is perhaps like my favorite one. Here's the cool thing. Whatever coffee you like, you can join the coffee club at Black Rifle Coffee Company, and you can choose which roast you like. If you want the AK-47 espresso, if you want the Thin Blue Line medium roast, I mean, whatever it is that you want, they have tons of different roasts. Pick your delivery schedule, what you want, your delivery schedule, and you get coffee at a discount shipped for free right to your doorstep. So you're never, ever going to run out of your favorite brew again. And again, no shipping fees either. They also have mugs and grinders and kettles and all kinds of stuff, everything that you need for the perfect cup of coffee. And they help and work with veterans. They employ a lot of active duty and retired veterans as well. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and join that Black Rifle Coffee Club today. And when you do, you're going to get 30% off of your first month using code Dana. So start saving money on high-quality coffee roasted right here in the U.S. of A. It's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Looking for the drive-thru version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
I mean, so what he should have said to the families is, I'm so sorry for what we've done, and we will do better. And the way they're going to do better is they'll hold themselves accountable. Listen, Mark Zuckerberg's worth $140 billion. If he devoted just 10% of that to helping victims, think what it could do for these families. And by the way, if he would actually change his platform and not allow pedophiles and sex predators on there, he could do a service to every family in America. I'll just say this, Sean. He seems to have all the time and attention in the world to censor conservatives. Facebook leapt at the opportunity to censor any questions about COVID, to label people who had COVID vaccine questions as potential terrorists. If you question the Hunter Biden laptop, they shut you down. But yet they can't lift a finger to take sex predators off their platform. I don't buy it.
So that's Senator Josh Hawley. This was a story we started talking about yesterday because they had that hearing that was before the Senate Judiciary Committee. And I sent a piece out about that yesterday. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. I'm recovering from the plague. I feel a lot better. Thank you guys so much for your kind words. You guys are super sweethearts. And it's been so nice. Thank you. Here's the... I want to have a very, very clinical discussion about this, because yes, he's right, and no, he's not. And here's what I mean, because it's so, it gets so technical with the algorithms and then going as a, on a user basis. And I say this as somebody who has literally spent 10 years getting kicked around by social media platforms. I've had videos removed. I've been demonetized. I've been banned, suspended. So I kind of have a beef, right? I have every right and every justification to go on the warpath against big tech. But at the same time, I'm also an absolute speech purist, and I also am very anti-big government. Not anti-government, I'm anti-big government. And that's first and foremost. And that's what I want everyone to be careful of. That's the perspective that I want to enter this discussion through, is big government. Because what does big government love to do? It loves to take a problem, and the more tragic, the better. And it likes to exploit it to expand control every time. So let's look at this conversation that they had before the Senate Judiciary, because they were talking about the dangers of online sexploitation and drug use and bullying. And you had these senators, including Holly, who were demanding that Mark Zuckerberg apologize to the families. Holly wanted Zuckerberg to pay them compensation. I don't know what for. And these stories, look, there's no sympathy lost here. They're heartbreaking. But my question is, how exactly is it Zuckerberg's fault? So the big thing, and I think this is Holly's strongest point, is he says, okay, well, you know, you can censor conservatives, but you can't lift a finger against the predators. Well, let's, again, and I know, again, I say this as somebody who has every reason to hate big tech. And there are predators all over the internet. If someone is involved in criminality, if Facebook is involved in actively assisting criminality, by all means, drag them to the woodshed. I don't have a problem with it. I don't think anybody else does either. But there is a big difference in algorithmic editing, for the lack of a better way to say it, and then, excuse me, going on a user-by-user basis. Now, Facebook is so big, and I think in the very beginning, it's really, really difficult to police speech before it's made. I mean, it's impossible. When you're looking at Facebook and Instagram and even X, typically something has to be done to, a post has to be made, a statement has to be made, something has to be shared in order for that legal line to be crossed or for that policy line to be crossed and someone acts to suspend that individual. And that's how usually these, you know, you find these people. To say that there is some sort of algorithm editing happening that encourages predation, that's a huge accusation. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm just saying you got to prove it. We believe as conservatives that you have to provide evidence, right? Just as we don't like red flag laws, I also don't like red flagging everything else. Then by all means, take it to court, press charges. And if it's something of which they're guilty, take them to the woodshed. But that's a big accusation to make. These kinds of platforms, just as it with anything else, they make it easy for predation. And you know the best counter to that? Do you know the best way to kind of push back on the ease of predation through these platforms? Is parental involvement. It's not big government coming in and doing it. It's parental involvement. If any parent out there allows their kids unfettered access on social media, you're a bad parent. It's irresponsible, it's reckless, and it's dangerous. Bottom line, you wouldn't let your kids hang out, you know, at a bus stop in a drug dealing part of town, would you? Completely unsupervised. You got to look at social media the same way. I also reject the argument that I hear from some folks, and they're always progressives. They get real mad. And they're like, oh, it's easy for you to say. Now, it's, well, why is it easy for me to say? Is there something that sort of, do I have am I better equipped at monitoring my kids than you are? That doesn't make any sense. I don't understand that argument. Monitor your damn kids. Raise your damn kids. That's your job as a parent. It's not the government's job. It's not Daddy Mark Zuckerberg's job. That is the best way to thwart predation, is to be involved and to monitor your kids. because this is not something that we can trust the government to do. You're going to allow the government to come in and take over the administration of this, the same government that will sooner take your kid away from you for not allowing them to cut off their genitals and quote unquote transition to a different sex. You're going to allow that government to come in and set these requirements, set these expectations, set these regulations. I mean, come on, guys, we gotta look at what we're doing here. Now, yes, absolutely. The, you know, engagement, the censorship of conservatives, that was an algorithmic thing. That I will say, with X, it was an algorithmic thing because it's something that Musk has talked about. They said that there are so many layers that it's taken them years to kind of go through all the code and just clean everything up. With Facebook, oh my gosh, I've been targeted on Facebook so many times. I think it's a lot of their administrators, and that in addition to algorithms. But pointing this out is not a defense of the practice. I'm simply saying I think people need to chill before they rush into a situation that allows a godless government that would take your children away from you for not acknowledging their progressive quote-unquote transitioning to set the parameters for this. That's my whole point. The internet is full of good and bad things, and it's the responsibility of the parents to help their kids navigate it. Blaming third-party services isn't the solution. That's a formula that the left uses. Case in point, after Uvalde, one of the rifles that was used was made by Daniel Defense. Now, they were targeted because their product was murderously used by a dangerous individual with a known record of violence and threats and disturbing behavior. The family that knew, including the reported uncle that drove the teenager to go buy the rifle after he was previously caught doing drive-by BB gun shootings and swinging around dead cats in bags, the family skirted responsibility, but the company did not. They went after Daniel Defense, the anti-gun lobby. So why was a company responsible for a minor illegally using its illegal product? In 2021, you had a racist murderer drive a Ford SUV through a Christmas parade in Waukesha, killing 5 and injuring 48 people. Is Ford responsible for those fatalities? This is my point. We have to be very careful. Now, if you, and it requires this in our republic, bring up the evidence and press the charge that, well, Ford, you know, made this easier because they were involved in this, or they changed the algorithms, or they encouraged this predation. That's an entire issue. That's an entirely different issue. And one, I'm all for, I believe in capital punishment for child predators. So you're not going to find an argument for me. I think it should be public and live streamed and raise money for the victims, too. You're not going to find an argument for me. But I'm just saying, we got to be very, very careful with us. And I think some, and I like, look, I like Josh Hawley. I don't agree with everybody on everything. And I hate it that we live in such a tribal, politically tribal time. And this is what happens when you get these leftist grifters in the right. You everything gets so politically tribal that you cannot have one disagreement, especially on a very important issue that deserves the sharpening of iron in discussion, without being accused of hating the person or whatever. I like Josh Hawley. I mean, he comes from my home state. I just think he went too hard on this, and I think that he's moved by the stories that he's hearing from the families, and that it's kind of altering his perspective here a little bit. We have to be very, very careful in giving big government a foothold. Kids have to have boundaries. They have to have parental oversight. They have to have intervention when needed, not free reign on social media, because government and corporations are poor parents. Can't have it. Now, the other big thing, this is what I woke up to this morning. You guys remember the film, right? That was made. And I don't even want to bring this story up now. I can't even believe that this is a story that we have to talk about in the United States of America today. Okay, so there was the story of the guy who made, you know, the video, Kane. The video with in the Capitol. Yeah.
It was adult.
It was in the Hart Senate office building.
The what?
The incident.
The what Senate?
A Senate office building.
Oh, it was? Okay. Uh-huh. So this was congressional real estate.
Mm-hmm.
That this adult time was filmed.
Yeah.
So this was on, like, this is government property, is what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Daily Caller broke it when it first happened. It was a video. and it was apparently leaked in a shared private group for gay dudes in politics. And it was in Ben Cardin's office. Well, it was like a Ben Cardin staffer, apparently. And Cardin never named the guy in question. He just said it was a personnel issue. I bet it was. And I can I just say that the video that Getty, or the image that Getty used, was a picture of the Hart office building with some Clorox and Purell on the counter. I'm dying right now. You can't tell, but I am. I think it's hysterical. So they said, well, there was no evidence that a crime was committed. So I just want to, let me just understand this.
That's not a crime.
So you can go into the Senate office building. You can drop trowel. You can give a one-eye salute and film yourself engaging in X-rated activities for which there is no charge. If you place your feet on the desk of Nancy Pelosi, you get 6 years in jail.
Sometimes more years
in jail. Yeah, yeah, yeah. For unlawful parading. I would say that that was a bunch of unlawful parading over and over again. That happened in the Senate office bill. I'm going to make jokes about this for the rest of the show. Are you okay?
I'm all right.
This is our government, man. It's like a soap opera.
I was really hoping you wouldn't get to this in the first hour.
Oh, I have to. I woke up to this, so everyone has to have it the first hour. This is what I woke up to. So I'm just as shocked as you are that there were no charges for this. That's nasty. First off, that's nasty. But yeah, that's maybe, you know, the J6 people should have just said we were there to film a porno to share in the gay dude chat. That's why we were nothing. And then, you know, what would have happened? All the Democrats and all the Capitol Police would have been like, oh, no big deal. That's all right. Go ahead. Go on through. See, problem solved. Now you guys know in the future, just tell them you're there to make a gay porno. Saying we have more on the way. As we have Days of these United States, although I don't think anything's going to top this as we move. Nothing's going to top that one. That's just the way it is. Our partners over at Patriot Mobile, it's the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. And I like that they do business literally by the good book, and especially when they get involved in the political aspect of it. I think that consistency is incredibly important, especially for people who are looking, you know, to kind of restore that in our nation. So it's good to see that consistency applied. But Patriot Mobile wants to save you money. I mean, that's like big first and foremost. Everybody's broke. I'm not kidding you. Everybody's broke. Butter increased again. I'm not lying. I saw it. I seen it. But they want to save you money. They also want to make sure you can get free activation using code Dana. And they have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. So when you work with Patriot Mobile, you're actually helping to create and maintain U.S.-based jobs. And you're getting the best dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. So you're getting the best service in your area, but without funding the far left. So visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get that free activation. Make the switch today. patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
The climate crisis is a health crisis, fundamentally. And that actually means it is a crisis, therefore, also of our stability, our security, our economic growth, and our fundamental future as a globe. When we think about it, health is fundamental to everything that we are trying to do. A country like Zambia is now shutting down its schools because of a cholera outbreak that is from increased rainfall. Malaria is spreading in areas where it's been eradicated or removed in many of these countries. We are losing progress against our sustainable development goals. We have put billions of dollars towards those goals, and we're truly losing progress.
What is it like to just be able to go out and Lewis Carroll your way through a whole bunch of remarks? I mean, the weather, the cholera started from the weather. And I mean, we really have to have these health opportunities from the precipitation. And the part, with the snow and the ice and the weather and the health and the Zambia, such as maps. Who is this broad?
John Kerry's daughter.
Oh gosh, that makes all the sense in the world.
Vanessa Kerry.
Of course. What is with these Nepo babies?
Great question.
Oh my gosh, Nepo babyism. I can't Look, I get pretty Tocqueville about this stuff. It's one of his observances that he made when he was trying to figure out why did the French Revolution fail horribly compared to the American Revolution. It's because we require a work ethic over here. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not like, oh, you lucky roll of the gamete dice. Here you go. You get to get, I cannot stand that. And I hate it when people in the United States, especially politicians and people of the establishment class, try to create these dynasties for their kids. I can't stand it. I had somebody, there was a group that, I think I told you all this before. There was a group that asked if my son wanted to be involved, my oldest son, if he wanted to get involved and, you know, do some youth stuff. And I was like, why would anybody listen to him? And they're like, oh, because he's your son. I'm like, that's a stupid reason. Like, just because he's lucky and, in terms of the, I guess, you know, how he was born, who he was born to. I'm like, shouldn't be an immediate end. I was like, he didn't even pay taxes yet. No, because he was still in high school. I'm like, this is not going to happen. I'm like, you gotta earn your way and you gotta work and you have to, you know, show merit. You're not just going to be given it. So I said, no, thank you. I'm like, you know, I, it's kind that you thought of us, but no, we're not doing that. Not everybody says that though. Man, there's so many that don't. We're going to talk about some of them because my hand got forced. So y'all wanted smoke. So it's coming. We got that coming up in a second hour. Plus, we're going to talk about oil and gas because we love oil and gas, oil and gas, oil and gas. We're going to talk to Todd Staples, who's head of one of those big orgs here in Texas. Stick with us.
You're in the state that's number one for business in America right now. We have the lowest unemployment amongst large states, highest GDP growth amongst large states. Is it so bad that you actually have to live under the same laws as everybody else, including your competitors? Of course not. This is not a matter of high principle for them. This is a matter of them trying to claw back special privileges that they were never entitled to in the first place.
Mm. Yeah, this is right. This was a big victory yesterday. Disney's last gasp attempt went down in total flames. Welcome back to the program. Top of our second hour. Dana Lash here with you. And we talked about this, that Reedy Creek, the whole, you know, just to, if you've missed it, and by the way, you can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. We have the video component of the radio program as well. That you can check out on Channel 347 DirecTV, YouTube, Facebook. Yes, I've been severely under the weather and recovering. Thank you for your kind words. The special treatment that Disney received, the best description of it came from Jonathan Turley, who said that no other entity, aside from the Vatican, which is its own city-state, had free reign like that. They got to sidestep taxes, any kind of development regulation, environmental right, everything. They got to sidestep everything for years. Democrats and Republicans allowed it to happen. And then Disney started getting real snotty. And it just so happened that, okay, well, you're going to lose this special status. And so Disney sued. And there were some grifters that I don't think that they're actually on the right because they haven't really worked for any kind of conservative victories, but they actually were trying to argue that Disney should have kept that status. They're like the big government, you know, bushies. They thought that Disney should have kept that status and that it was mean because it was DeSantis doing it and it was the don't say gay thing and it's because it was a vengeance for that, even though the bill never said that and it had nothing to do with it. So Disney decided that they were going to file suit and retaliate. And they lost. They were trying to gain control over their special district again. And they lost their federal case. It was dismissed. The companies, their last remaining hopes of regaining control, done. Not, it's just done. Disney was arguing that the legislation, which was overwhelmingly passed by Florida State Legislature and signed into law by DeSantis, they were trying to say that it was like retaliation and it was just the governor's one person war. I mean, you have to have a whole legislature, but whatever. And, excuse me, they were trying to say that it was somehow a violation of their free speech, which is, that doesn't have anything to do with free speech. You can say whatever you want. You're not owed tax exemption. You're not owed cronyist treatment. Are you high? Did the Hunter Biden cocaine get in your system? I have no idea how people could make that argument. So they've already lost. They lost the battle over their special district. They kept saying, oh, it's going to lead to higher taxes. They laid that out in minute detail of how that was a lie. And it never did. Never. Of course, it's not going to mean that. Disney actually has to pay their fair share. That's what it was. And remember, you had Nikki Haley who begged Disney to go to South Carolina. I mean, she could have taken the side of, you know, the most conservative governor in the United States of America, the modern day Calvin Coolidge, who has a major conservative record. Nikki Haley could have done that, but she was trying so thirstily, which is a word now we're making it, to differentiate herself from that and try to make herself look to stand apart. The only way she could run was to the left of DeSantis. And so she attacked him for it and invited Disney and offered the same croniest situation, the same croniest offer to Disney to go to South Carolina. Now, if you wondered why she has no support in South Carolina, why none of the big South Carolina Republicans have endorsed her, does that explain it? I mean, she literally offered, like on a platter. She's like, oh, come Disney, come to South Carolina. You know, we don't do that kind of stuff here. You don't do what? You don't make all the businesses pay at the same competitive level. You don't eschew cronyism. Like what? I don't get it. What is it? What do you not do? Republican, tell me. Shocking. So this is a major victory. And I think that conservatives, you deserve a little schadenfreude. Normally I would say, don't be snotty over your wins, but you've had so few wins. We've had so few wins lately. Take this one. Take it. Be obnoxious about it. You deserve to be. You've earned it. You've endured a lot. You've been called a lot of names by literally a company checks notes fronted by a mouse. You've been attacked. You've been smeared. You deserve the victory. You deserve the V. So, you know, you be as snotty and obnoxious as you want. You've earned it. You've taken some kicks. Right? You were called statist and you were called all kinds of names by this company who wanted to sit here and force DEI and sexploitation in front of your kids. You stood up to it. You were dragged through the dirt for standing up to it. You deserve this victory. So be as, absolutely be as obnoxious as you want to be. Now, normally I would say, again, don't do that. That's not nice. Be gracious. No. Be obnoxious. You deserve it. So this is a major victory. Remember all the people are like, oh, it looks like Disney's going to get the last laugh. Wait a minute. Do you hear the last laugh yet? I don't. I hear a gasping death of a rat caught in a trap. That's what I hear. Oh, to hear it? It's music to my ears. Sad for the soul. All right. So that's a major victory, though. And their case is done. They have nowhere else to go. Where else are they going to go? Where else are they going to go for this? It makes no sense. But they were all about that with the BLM and the DEI and all this jazz. It's sad. I want to talk real quickly, excuse me, about a story that I wasn't going to talk about. It has to do with Texas's Congressional District 26. Now, y'all know where I live in South Lake. My town, part of my town falls under this district. And, you know, Texas gets nasty. The seat held by a dude named Michael Burgess. It was held by, I think it was Dick Armey before him. And it's a real crowded primary. Like I said, I don't like getting involved in like congressional primaries and stuff like that. But what I don't like is when I see like big progressive grifting entities from like New York or LA or K Street try that in a small town, try to come to, you know, places like Texas and push voters around. And that's exactly what happened. So I saw this the other day. Like I've never met George Santos. We have some mutual friends. But he was paid to do this cameo where he was running his mouth about one of the candidates who's our current mayor, John Huffman, in this district. And this is what I want to put out and I want to warn y'all over. Let me step back to the BLM stuff. Do you all remember the video that came out of Dallas of the guy who was getting beaten because he was trying to protect his storefront? You guys remember that video? Because that happened in Dallas. That happened here. That happened a couple of years after you had cops ambushed and murdered by a racist activist. Right outside where Fox was. I was supposed to actually be down there that night. That happened on live television. They had a cop shot and killed right on television. So when BLM kicked off, there were riots all over the country. You guys remember this. In Dallas, it was no different. but a lot of the troublemakers weren't content with keeping it in Dallas. So while all these riots were happening in downtown Dallas, a lot of the families that live in my town on Facebook were sharing images of flyers that have been tied to their mailboxes or left in their doors. And they targeted Highland Park. They came all the way out here to the county I live in and were leaving some of these leaflets. People were posting photos on Facebook of this, like, oh my gosh. And they were basically saying, you're not safe in your town. Don't think that, you know, this is going to happen in just big cities. They were trying to scare the burbs. They were saying, you know, take it to the burbs. You know, take this injustice to the burbs. And people were nervous. And there was this big BLM thing that was gonna take place in the town square. This is when lockdown just started to cease. And BLM, because, you know, the virus wasn't contagious with BLM for some reason, they were going to have, this is when all this stuff was happening. They were going to do this in the town square. So we had these leaflets appearing on people's doors. You saw what happened in Dallas. A guy gets his head split open trying to protect his storefront. People were understandably nervous. And they had the event in town square. I went there just to observe. I wanted to see like what happened. I'm like, if something goes sideways, because we had a lot of out-of-state progressives that came into our town. They've been trying to flip our district. We were the first big school board fight. So all of that was happening at the same time. This town was going through hell. NBC was coming to our town. They were doing hit piece after hit piece on everybody. They were literally sending out mailers naming random parents that had spoken out at school board meetings. That's how nasty it got here. So just to give you a taste of what we had to deal with. And the current mayor at the time attended and was trying to keep the peace. And they had some of the city council members there who showed up as a way to keep the peace, because businesses who had just opened were now boarding up their storefronts. And when you are in the city council or when you are in any kind of elected position, your job is to be a peacemaker and to quell some of this stuff, especially right as everybody's coming out of a lockdown imposed on everybody by the governor. And so the Huffman was there kind of in the same observing capacity. I was there. I listened to everything that everybody said. You know, he and some of these other cats, they didn't endorse anything that was happening. They were trying to keep peace. Again, people were getting mailers on their damn like mailbox posts. And that was it. And it was peaceful. It was tense. It was very tense. And I was strapped. It was very tense, but it was peaceful. But you had somebody that ran their mouth, could have gone, you know, you never know. Thankfully, everybody kept their wits. And I think a lot of that had to do with some of the elected officials that had showed up and were like, you know, yes, we get that you're here. We don't all agree. Let's be peaceful. So we were there through all of that. So now I got these grifters coming out of New York. These people were Democrats a heartbeat ago. And they're all operatives. These people want to be the new conservative establishment. And they're trying to buy this congressional seat. I don't want to name names because some of these people are my friends, but this is show business of the country, not show friends. We have one very well-known dad who's trying to buy the seat for a son-in-law. The PAC that was created is entirely financed by the guy. Republican dinners being bought. I'm hearing stuff from people all over the place. And I'm letting everybody have their fight. But when I saw one of these grifters, who apparently, according to reports, is a convicted drug dealer, got busted for drugs or something, you know, real conservative values there. I guess that's what they were doing when we were down here fighting the good fight. Gets down there and tries to big time people in a district and is attacking all these different voters as a way to try to sway people. When George Santos does this cameo, George Santos ain't even been to this town. Then I got a problem. And I got to speak up because unlike these cats, I was there. I wasn't going out and buying designer clothes with my donor money. I was like here with the candidate in question, pushing back against all this stuff. I brought that story about our school board national. I was here in this fight the whole way. And so was that candidate, John Huffman. So I took issue with that because I don't like it when known progressives or people who were just recently turned conservative try to act like generals to everybody who's been in this and has done this for a long time and who knows the drill. and tries to big time people and attack different voters. I don't like that, because that's establishment. That's the kind of stuff I fought against. I didn't fight against that so that these people could crown themselves the new Con Inc. establishment. So that's the truth of the matter. And I'm being real cool, you know, and I'm being nice. I've got a lot of friends that are involved in this, and I don't take this stuff personally. But when you go after voters and you try to attack and smear people in my town, well, then you just made it personal with me. And you don't want that smoke, because you won't win. You never do. We got a lot more on the way as we roll into headlines. And coming up, we're going to have a deep dive on exactly Biden's petty little order on LNG exports. Not only does that hurt Texas, but it's jeopardizing national security everywhere. And we're going to talk about that.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently the Capitol Visitor Center has reported Representative Rich McCormick to the House Sergeant at Arms because he did a pull up on a railing. It was unsafe. The Georgia Republican went beyond a posted sign reading "No person permitted," and he did a pull up. What? I come on, this is so dumb. Really? This is like a 500-page or 500-word story, because
wait,
this dude did a pull-up.
For that?
Yeah, he did. He got in trouble for it. I would. I watch me pull up this middle finger. I mean, when it, sorry, it's the steroids. I'm blaming that. I'm gonna cling to that for as long as possible. Let's see. Scientists discover stunning evidence of multiple lost prehistoric societies. Huh. So they said that researchers analyzed more than 100 pieces prehistoric jewelry. That's interesting. They said that the new research shows that it was very important for distinguishing different cultures and status and all that stuff. But it is interesting. They had I'm not even going to pronounce this, a gravitation burial.
Sounds right.
Thing. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that works. I mean, it's pretty looking. I mean, it's neat stuff. And a hotel VP was accused of drunkenly slapping a teenage Disney World restaurant hostess 3 times over dress code snub. Of course, he looks like a progressive. Stick with us.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mr. Speaker, Walgreens is planning to close yet another pharmacy in the Massachusetts 7th, this time on Warren Street in Roxbury, a community that is 85% Black and Latino. This closure is a part of a larger trend of abandoning low-income communities like the previous closures in Mattapan and Hyde Park, both in the Massachusetts 7th. When a Walgreens leaves a neighborhood, they disrupt the entire community, and they take with them baby formula, diapers, asthma inhalers, life-saving medications, and of course, jobs. These closures are not arbitrary, and they are not innocent. They are life-threatening acts of racial and economic discrimination.
It's because of the crime. It's because there's major crime that's happening. Does she not realize what? No, she doesn't. Welcome back to the program. Bottom of this second hour, Dana Loesch here with you. She's blasting it because she says, oh, she said that it's racist to close it because it is impossible for them to remain open. They were actually going to close, I think, a little earlier, but it was delayed. It's one of 18 locations across Boston. And they say that it's the trend. They said it's the criminal element. I mean, they've got a lot of theft, and I mean, good grief. I mean, have you been into some of those stores? Like basic things, because bad economy and restorative justice encouraging criminality has made for a very dangerous result. I mean, that's ultimately what this is. And they've got basic stuff that's like now behind lock and key now. Well, what did you think was going to happen? I mean, what did you think that was going to happen when you were screaming about defunding the police and pushing restorative justice that would reduce felonies down to like wrist slapping misdemeanors, et cetera, et cetera? I mean, what did you, they act like that this is the result. They act like, oh, it's just because Walgreens is racist. That's what it's. They act like they're closing stores that have massive losses. This is why we have such an economic illiteracy in this country. Massive losses, theft. I mean, all of it. I mean, when you have a business, the purpose of a business is to be in business. That's the truth of it. Welfare doesn't exist. Walgreens doesn't exist as a way to provide, you know, welfare. You're not going to have people work in Walgreens for free. You're not going to have the loss of, with theft and the scare of violence that reduces traffic and reduces purchase power at the store. You're not, what are you just going to have, like, people provide stuff for free, load stuff in the store for free, work for free, run the till for free? I mean, that's stupid. She sounds like someone who's never, ever had to work a late night shift at a store that's ever been crime plagued. Right. It is not Walgreens' job to absorb the losses that are due from societal breakdown. It is not Walgreens' job to absorb the losses brought on by people like Ariana Pressley, who refuse to hold criminals accountable. The fact that it is a predominantly black neighborhood, that doesn't mean a thing. I have seen stores like that close in white neighborhoods, rural areas, where it's just white people. It has nothing to do with race. It's business. If you don't want stores closing, then maybe stop people from stealing. Maybe stop the crime. Nobody wants to see a store close, but you know what? I bet people would like to live peacefully and not with the threat of crime all the damn time. I bet people would like to work at Walgreens at night, not worried about, you know, people coming in and ransacking shelves. Have you seen some of it? You seen some of the video out there? Not just Walgreens, but all these other stores? That's what they're trying to avoid. You're not going to sit here and emotionally blackmail these businesses into operating at a loss while you refuse to hold the people that make that scenario a reality, hold them accountable. It's not how we do things. It's not how we're going to do things. So goofy. I mean, it's you law and order for a reason. Like, for instance, this story in coming out of Florida. So the residents in Florida who identify as being transgender, they are not going to be allowed anymore to change their gender on their driver's licenses. It's a new policy under the Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles. They told tax collectors do not issue replacement IDs for people who are trying to change their gender. They have to identify by their gender at birth. And you can only issue replacement licenses when one is lost or stolen, or if there's like a change in address, name, you know, things like that. And so they said that's going to forcibly out transgender people. Okay. Oh, wow. Brandon Wolf, a spokesperson for the Human Rights Campaign, said, quote, these policies would forcibly out transgender people anywhere they use. You think the license is going to out them? Excuse me, it's ma'am. You think the license is going to out them? I would think that the Adam's apple would do the job. You know, or the fact that it's a giant man.
Excuse me, it's ma'am. It is ma'am.
I would think that that would do it enough, right? Oh, I couldn't tell that you had a Frankenbeans until I saw your driver's license. You can't sit here and falsify, you know, your identity on a driver's license. You can't make something up. I can't do it. You can't do it. Equality. There you go. Right there. That's how that works. But why are they making such a big deal out of it? It's not discriminatory. This is so goofy. And they said, no, you got it. It's from what you were. What is the phrase that the left uses? Assigned at birth. Yep. By whom? The Lord? Like, what? Assigned. It's what you were born with. Assigned at birth. What in the world is this? What's this world coming to? The language is insane. It's crazy. So good. They're making some good moves down there. They're making very good news. Okay, so I told you a little earlier, Capitol Police are not going to bring charges after two dudes recorded themselves. No. Oh, yeah. Now, we had a headline. They made a film. They made a Hunter Biden flick in the Hart Senate hearing room. And Steve made a very good point, which is why I'm coming back to this, because we had a headline of a guy, a lawmaker, who got in trouble because he did a pull-up in the Capitol building. He pulled something up, these guys pulled something down. And they don't get in trouble, and he does. They say there was no evidence a crime was going. Wouldn't trespass be a crime? I mean, trespass is a crime. How is this not criminal trespass? And can you imagine, because it happened at a table where senators sit to ask questions. Can you imagine being the senator that has to sit there and ask questions after, you know, the Senate Judiciary meeting where you had, just let me point out the irony of this. Yesterday, Senate Judiciary, didn't they have it in the Hart office, the hearing about sexual exploitation online? Didn't they have that whole hearing in the Hart office? You know, where you saw Senator Josh Hawley and Senator Ted Cruz and all of these other people ask these questions of Mark Zuckerberg. Did they or did they not have it there in the Senate Hart building? The exact same place that two Democrat staffers recorded a gay porno. The same room. Right?
You are correct.
The irony. The irony. Oh, man, I hope they cleaned it well. I don't know what kind of cleaning crews they got over there. They got rats and mice and everything over at the Capitol building. I just hope that it was the... All right. So this, we're going to talk more about this coming up in the next hour. This is one of the things that I had put this in your rundown because the administration was going to be making an announcement. Well, they were going to be making a move on this as to whether or not they were going to sanction Israeli settlers over what they said is West Bank violence. So Biden imposes sanctions on four Israeli settlers that he says have been attacking. This is the headline from the BBC, attacking Palestinians in the occupied West Bank. West Bank is not occupied. Stop. And so they can't access U.S. property or any assets. The violence reached intolerable levels. Have they sanctioned Hamas? Anybody related yet? No?
No.
I was wondering about that. They were also considering, apparently, whether or not they wanted to recognize Palestine as like an entity, but Hamas hasn't yet changed their charter to do so. So coming up, we're going to be getting into some Florida man, and we're also going to dive into the broke RNC. And tomorrow, my friend Jennifer Van Laar, who's over at Red State, she did a huge deep dive into this. The amount of money, we have parties broke state by state, but the amount of money that they are spending on things like floral arrangements and consultants. And we have battleground states that are broke. The parties are broke in states that they need money to be competitive to win. It is dire. And they're going to have to, I don't know what they're doing at the RNC, but we're going to talk about some of that as well. So we're going to get into that. And then coming up later on in the program, the LNG export pause, it's unjustifiable. And it's jeopardizing national security. It is a mean little petty move that the administration has undertaken just so they can hit Texas over the border. And they're targeting the number one LNG exporter in the country, Texas. So we're going to talk to Todd Staples, who is with Texas Gas. We're going to talk to him.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So a Florida woman tried to kill her husband over a postcard that he received from his ex 6 decades ago. 6 decades. He was left with multiple injuries that included bruises, cuts on his arm and stomach, bite marks. His wife of more than 50 years, 71-year-old Bertha Yalter, tried to smother him with a pillow.
What?
And when authorities arrived, they found the victim, the unidentified victim, in a very, what they said was an extremely fragile state. She confessed to attacking him. She's been charged with second-degree attempted murder. They've been married for 50 years. North Miami Beach, 50 years.
So she found this thing,
yeah.
I guess, and because it's longer than their relationship, I guess she thought he held onto it because he really loved this girl or something, maybe?
I mean, he had a postcard from an ex from 6 decades ago. You know, why'd you keep it? I'm kidding. No.
She beat his ass.
She did, man. she, you know, she said, yeah, I did it. And I, her mugshot, she's like, yeah, I did it. That's what her mugshot looks like. So I don't know the situation. I don't know the history of, you know, but man, that is new. 50 years. And she finds it from 60 years ago. So I don't know. Maybe there's something, you know, more there. But man, she did. She about damn near killed him. She whooped him.
Was there no good time night. In the 50 years that she was proven to her he loves her?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I don't know, man. That's
good Lord.
I feel like we're going to need more on this story. We're going to, you know. A Florida man stole a large Snoop Dogg bobblehead from a Mexican restaurant. And he was charged. He was in Fort Myers. It happened at Cantina Laredo. And he was caught on surveillance video stealing the bobblehead from the hostess station. And then he walked off to his vehicle. Now, that wasn't just any normal bobblehead. That bobblehead was $1,250. Mm-hmm. Guy's charged with grand theft. A $1,200 bobblehead. Oh my gosh. So then there's this guy. A man arrested in Florida, accused of taking a happy stick figure sculpture because he liked it. His name is Joshua Roach. He was arrested Tuesday of this week in Martin County, and he was spotted, and police responded. He was spotted acting suspicious and walking around with this large piece of artwork. When they arrived, they said it looked like he had two large poles, and it was a part of a bigger piece of artwork that he took from a business. It was a large red stick figure with a happy face. He's got a history of theft and burglary. He admitted to doing it, and he goes, yeah, because I liked it. And so he faces a charge of theft. The police officers placed the artwork on the front of their vehicle. They took it back to the station so they could return it to the business. It literally is just a couple of poles. There's got to be something else wrong with this dude. Why would you take that? He's like, I just like it. I just like it. That's all I did. I liked it. School pickup lines are fascinating, you know? I mean, lots of stuff goes down at these things. And I'm always endlessly amused at what some of the parents do. Like the mom, this mom, Florida mom, was banned from dropping kids off at her Christian school because she has an OnlyFans ad on her car.
Oh, no.
Oh yeah. Oh man. Central Florida. She's not allowed to drop her kids off at the private Christian school because of the giant ad for her OnlyFans account on her vehicle. So I guess it's not a believer school. I don't know. The mom says that the school's making her park across the street, which forces her kids to cross a busy road. She says that is unless she takes the ad for the adult content site off of her car. I'm not telling you what her name is. And she goes by a different name to promote her content, but it's all literally a giant decal that, oh my gosh, and there goes one, that stretches entirely across the vehicle's back windshield.
You don't see the last part. It could say onlyfansofgod.com.
Sure, Kane.
It could say that.
Yeah. It's Liberty Christian Prep, and parents are like, we do not want to see this. This is insane. This is adult content. We don't want to see this advertised in the school drop-off line. And it is a huge, I mean, it's the whole back winch, the whole back shield. It is.
Where is shame anymore these days? Like, you're putting OnlyFans decal on your back window of your grocery getter?
And then you're shocked because, well, like, I send my kids to a Christian school. I can't even advertise my OnlyFans on my car. Wow. Like, you're shocked about that? You're shocked the Christian school you send your kids to would have that kind of a rule?
Oppression.
Yeah. I thought this was America. Huh. Jeez. It's like talking to NPCs. These people. I can't. All right. So coming up, third hour, the petty move by the Biden administration to punish Texas over LNG. That's going to have some wide-ranging repercussions. We're going to talk about that as well coming up. We're also going to get into some of the latest with more animals predicting weather. Science, guys, some science. Stay with us.
East Palestine, why did the administration decide that things have, I guess, coalesced and it's now the time for President Biden to go?
So the mayor and community leaders invited the president to meet with East Palestine residents and also assess the recovery progress that's been going on for some time now, as you all know. And so the president had always said that he would go when it is most helpful to the community. And with this invitation, obviously, very recent, and the current status of the recovery, we felt that the time was right. Again, we got an invitation from the mayor and community leaders to come, and very, very recently, and so we are working with them to figure out the best time to do that in February.
And there isn't a date yet?
There's no date yet, but obviously we're working with community leaders, we're working with the mayor.
They're trying to figure out how they can best exploit it
time
for victory. That's the only reason why. He's seeing some of the swing state stuff, and he's like, oh, I got to shore some things up. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, and we are at the top of this third hour. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. Watch the simulcast, Channel 347, DirecTV. Yeah, he's looking to help himself electorally. That's why he's going to East Palestine. That's why he's going there. Just like he's doing this weird stuff with Israel, how it's, well, you know, yeah, Israel has the right to defend itself, but we're going to have these, you know, we're going to issue this, you know, we're going to issue this, the story that I just had when they were issuing this sanction on, what are they saying, some Israelis in the West Bank, etc. He's trying to, he wants to keep Michigan too. Interesting. Speaking of all of that, there was the, they shut down all the roads in D.C. again. Poor little Steve, he was like super late to work because all the pro-Hamas people were shutting down all the roads. They apparently shut down one of the roads in front of the Holocaust Museum. Like, they were literally in front of the Holocaust Museum shutting down the road. This isn't about persuasion. They're just trying to like make it look like you're subservient or that you're subjugated to them. This has nothing to do with persuasion. Protesting, being pro-Hamas, and protesting in front of the Holocaust Museum and shutting the roads down during rush hour, that's just going to get people to hate you. How hard of a time did you have getting into work today, Steve?
When I leave my apartment, I live like right off North Capitol, which is where the Capitol is. And as soon as it backs up, I get to the stoplight in front of my apartment, and as soon as it backs up to there, I know something's up, because usually I just take an easy left. And then I check my phone before my phone even lit up. Then the radio was like, yeah, demonstrators everywhere. Then I pulled the Waze up, and it was like just a mess. So they had, but the problem was they didn't like arrest people. They just told people to go on other roads, which doesn't help the other roads. So even if I didn't see it, I was still screwed by it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody was, I mean, you deadlocked. Traffic is already bad in D.C. You don't need to make it worse. I mean, that's, and they had the signs up like, oh, like leave Yemen alone. And of course, you know, it's the Iranian-backed Houthis that have been targeting American ships and American service members in the Red Sea because they're mad that Israel defended itself when Hamas attacked them. They're mad over that. That's what that's all about. It's so, you know, it's just so disingenuous. And to my point too that I had made about Michigan, you know, Biden, he's like trying to campaign, and he was supposed to meet with the mayor of Dearborn, Abdullah Hamid, and apparently the mayor would not meet with Biden because he had reaffirmed his belief that Israel had the right to defend itself. So, And that's, they're trying to pressure him. We still have a lot of time before November. They still have a lot of time before November. I mean, they can barely accomplish absolutely anything. I mean, the squad had voted, and this was just yesterday, against a bill to bar Hamas terrorists from entering the United States. Two left-wing Democrat members of the House, hey, if you guessed it was Cori Bush and Rashida Tlaib, you'd be right. They voted against the No Immigration Benefits for Hamas Terrorists Act, and it was on C-SPAN. They were the only two to vote against it. 422-2-1 vote. And she said it was cruel and hateful. Wow. And the bill was introduced by a Republican representative, Tom McClintock. And the bill stipulated that any alien who carried out, participated in, planned, financed, afforded material support to, or otherwise facilitated any of the attacks against Israel initiated by Hamas beginning on October 7th, 2023 is inadmissible to the U.S. That's according to the text of the bill. And you had one representative, a Democrat, Ramirez, out of Illinois, was the only one to vote present. And so you had these two who voted. So they're getting pressure. So he's trying to finagle some kind of how he can best manage this and still make it a win for himself going into November, dealing with making Michigan happy and trying to not look like a monster for criticizing Israel for defending itself. And now he's going to try. Now he's going to mess it up going to Ohio too. Kane just shared, Lorraine had shared how the East Palestine, like the residents, they're saying, look, we know what he's doing. This is it's an election year. This is him just positioning everything for an election year. Him trying to come here and they don't have a date yet. He didn't come after the greatest catastrophe that we had. And now he still can't name a date. No, because he's got to schedule all the photo ops and all that stuff. I don't know. I'm telling you. Now, going back to some of the stuff happening in the House, 150 Democrats voted against a bill to deport illegal immigrants caught driving while drunk. That's wild. Yeah, right, Kane.
So it's all about safety.
That included Hakeem Jeffries. So it's the House leader. It's not just like the squad or any far left.
Wow.
I mean, that's like the base minimum of what to do. Someone breaks the law, they're in the country illegally, you send them back because they're in the country illegally and they're breaking the law. That just seems, you know, like what you would do normally. Wow. Tell ya. It can't even do that. They can't even do that. Asinine. That's why, you know, we were talking about John Fetterman and how he, at least like people like him, they know that the border's a problem. You know, he spent the weekend standing on a rooftop trolling people holding the Israeli flag. And we were wondering, how in the world? Like, what's happening? He wore a hoodie with a tuxedo design after Babylon Bee was joking about it. He shared a date night pic with his wife, Giselle. So I guess they're still, because a lot of people were wondering. She was deleting photos, etc. He said rumors of their separation was outrageous. So he was with his wife. And they had a date night thing, and he was in a hoodie, a tux hoodie. Okay, well, good. Good then. I mean, Kane said that he had a stroke, and he came back a little more based.
Right.
He stood on a rooftop. You go find the video. He stood on a rooftop just waving the flag. People were yelling, screaming at him. Interesting. And apparently, one of the reasons why the wife started deleting photos is because some people are saying she was getting targeted because he was supportive of Israel and they were targeting her as a result of it. So she started taking photos down. Oh, the way that the leftist media puts it, his rabid support, which is, yeah, whatever that means.
Can't just be support.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It just can't be support. It has to be rabid support, which is just asinine. So that, I don't know. It just seems, I feel like, because they had he literally made the Babylon Bee story come alive. A bison Senate dress code with formal hoodie. I don't care that he wears a hoodie. I don't care now. Because he's actually seems like a more normal Democrat. Not that I agree with him more. Or that he's landed on the right decision about the border and about Israel's right of self-defense. And I'm sure we agree on all the same policies that we were disagreeing on. But he's not like Rashida Tlaib. He's not like Ilhan Omar. He's not a nut job. At least he doesn't seem like that. It seems like he's, you know, healing. Unlike Joe Biden. Oh, boy. All right, a couple of other things I wanted to touch on. Kane, have you ever wondered why there are so many robots are white?
I have never worried about that or wondered about that.
I literally heard a collective, what did you just say from the audience out there?
Robots are white?
Yeah, so apparently that's a new hot take from the journal class.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They said that there's now problems of racial and gender bias in AI algorithms and data used to train language models like ChatGPT. And they said that there is now a subfield of social robotics. They're going to try to make robotics woke. Subfield of social robotics called socially assistive robotics. And the whole entire purpose is to interact ever more with diverse groups of people because they said that robots seem too white. I'm not even kidding you. How do you gauge that?
I have no idea.
I mean, me not being a robotics expert, I just don't know how you gauge something like that.
I don't either. It's either common sense or it's either, you know, that it's an effective robot with operational systems or it isn't. Like, what? Why does race have anything to do with it?
They're saying that the idea of I can't believe we're having this conversation. Racial AI is because of the developers, the people who develop them. And, you know, maybe they're so wait, are you mad that the robots are white? Or are you mad that you think that most of the developers are white? I don't understand. This is so dumb. This is something that you create as a problem when you have everything else solved. Right? When you don't have an issue at the border, when you don't have an opioid epidemic, when you don't have the world falling apart on either side of the U.S., when everything else is solved, this is the issue that you're like, wow, I need a problem. I need busy work. I'm just going to make up this problem. Robots are white. Why are they so white? Why are robots so white? I never even thought that. Who thinks that? Who looks at a robot and is like, you're white? Who does that? Well, a white person looks like a robot. Okay, that one guy who's trying to bioengineer his body, I'll give you that. He looks like a Borg. But, you know, still.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently on social media, one investment group shared a picture of a breakfast bill at McDonald's writing $7.29 for one Egg McMuffin. They were $2 pretty recently. Yeah, what did you think was going to happen when you voted Democrat and you voted for inflation and you voted for higher taxation and you voted for economic policies that make a $2.19 McMuffin $7.29? What did you think that was going to happen when you jack up energy costs, all of it? Everything goes back to the customer. I'm like surprised. I'm surprised these people are surprised. That's kind of crazy. Aircraft laser strike reports surged to a record high in 2023, according to FAA data. Why? I mean, that's a felony, right? Isn't that a felony to like have the laser stuff with all that?
Yeah.
They said, but it's a new high in these reports in 23 last year. Latest spike in a series of steady increases during the past decade. The FAA said that the laser strikes reported last year surpassed 13,000. There was a little like 9,400 the year before. And they're cheap. You can buy them like $20 online. They can actually distract pilots and cause flash blindness. That's super dangerous. And they say it's punishable, 5 years in prison. It's a federal crime. It was done in 2012. Half of the strikes occurred at altitudes less than 6,000 feet. 5% were reported at altitudes of 1,000 feet or lower. Like, so at dangerous points when planes are landing and taking off. That's so bad. Like, get other hobbies. A man was sentenced to 100 years for killing a coworker who stole his lunch from the work fridge. Yeah, he stole it. This 25-year-old got a 100-year sentence with 30 years suspended, so he's going to serve 70 years, Fairfax County. He was found guilty of first-degree murder. He planned to carry out the murder of his coworker in the Target parking lot because they took his lunch. I mean, people do get mad over that. That is one of the crummiest things you can do to somebody. And also, how nasty are you? Like, you don't know what their kitchen's like. You're stealing their lunch from the fridge, so you're getting leftovers or something that they made. I don't know. Tomorrow's Groundhog's Day, so all the rodents are going to come out and predict the weather. Punxsutawney Phil, if he sees his shadow, apparently we're in store for six more weeks of winter weather. And now everybody's trying to get on the animal weather predicting game. There's a hedgehog in Oregon. There's an owl in Florida. There's a squirrel. Shut up. There's a squirrel. There's a chicken in New York. No. A duck in Connecticut. An armadillo here in Texas. Stop it. Oh, man. I mean, and it's not, you know, it's not the same Punxsutawney Phil. What's his face? De Blasio killed that one.
He did.
He threw that thing to the ground.
We have killed the original.
Yeeted it right out. It's crazy. Mexican cartel violence is leaving some Mayan ruins absolutely inaccessible to tourists. Now, the country's like, oh, no, it's safe to go. Just go to these sites. But you can't go because you could have a cartel show up, take your phone, take your license, your identification, whatever. And another, you know, drug cartel could show up and then they could start fighting. So, yes, a number of historic sites are no-goes now. That's sad. Coming up, Todd Staples with Texoga. We're going to talk about the LNG mess that Biden's created.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage, by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The LNG is, it hurts. The president says he's for carbon neutrality. Well, it hurts carbon neutrality because natural gas is much cleaner than coal.
Mm-hmm.
America is one of the few countries that has actually in the past 10 years seen its carbon emissions reduced. And the reason that happened is because
and
of natural
just do
gas.
It cleaner. This is John Kennedy out of Louisiana. I mean, this is like all obvious stuff that, you know, seems like we all know, but nobody, well, the administration, I don't want to claim that they're ignorant of it. I just think that they're playing petty politics in this mad reaction to kick Texas over the border fight. They decided to go after LNG and suspend, which they say is temporary, new exports. And we talked a little bit about this week, the disaster. Not only are you targeting Texas, which is the number one, you know, leader with LNG in the nation, but you're also now jeopardizing the alliance that the United States has with a number of European nations that have been weaned off of dirty Russian gas in exchange for this. I mean, what are you thinking? This is just crazy. Joining us right now, an expert in this issue. We've talked to him before, Todd Staples, who is the president of Texoga. And he joins us now via Skype. And Todd, it's good to see you. Talk to me about this, because this is so punitively petty. I cannot think of, even if I try to understand the perspective of the administration, I cannot come up with any justifiable reason why they would make this move now of all times.
It's reckless, Dana. It is absolutely a disservice to every man, woman, and child in America. If we believe in energy security, if we want to make certain that we're not dependent on foreign countries for our future and our growth and our success, then let's have domestic production right here at home. And look, American energy leadership starts in Texas. We now produce about 42, a little bit more than 42% of all the crude oil in Texas. Last year, we hit a peak of about 30% of our nation's natural gas that's produced came from the Lone Star State. We know that LNG export facilities have been the reason that the world has been able to repudiate Putin for the invasion of Ukraine, because America has stood up. And now our allies who are depending on us and are planning on future projects and more growth, they're talking to other countries. They're looking for other sources because America said, hey, we've got a good thing going, but let's shoot ourselves in the foot. Let's fumble the ball, you know, whatever you want to call it these days. But that's exactly what this is. There's no, it's undeniable that it's anything but that. And if you care about the environment, if you really want to say, let's have cleaner air, let's have lower emissions future, natural gas is leading the way. It is displacing other fuel sources, as you stated many times. And so we know what the right solution is. We know how to attract jobs. We know how to deploy this capital. We've got some amazing companies doing that. We got some amazing men and women in the oil patch that are just, you know, working, delivering, doing more every day. Dana, it's amazing to me to think about the progress that Texas has made. We paid $26.3 billion in state and local taxes and state revenues last year. That exceeds the general fund revenues for 36 other states. I mean, almost three quarters of our nation. And so we know how to do this. We just need policies that don't get in the way if we really want to have energy security.
That's the big thing. We're talking with Todd Staples with Texoga. And I was reading, too, the House is expected to next month take up this measure on this moratorium. It's sad that the House has to take this. It's sad that the measure was taken in the first place. I mean, I can't see that this would, you know, be, it wouldn't make it out of the House, but then of course going to the Senate, then what happens? Then it's going to stall out in the Senate. So how long is this going to last? They said it was temporary, but they never actually put a timestamp on it.
They didn't. And we know that many projects have already been approved through other permits that are required. And so this really pulls the rug out from underneath investors. But
yeah,
look, the House, the Senate, the President, they all have to recognize if we're really going to be the ally that other nations depend upon, if we're going to deliver in times of need. These are not things that you want to play around with. I mean, look, our country just saw Weather Storm Heather here recently that caused a lot of disruptions. We all still remember the terrible effects of Winter Storm Uri. These are not things that you play petty political games with, because it's people's lives that are at stake, and we really can make environmental progress. So, you know, hopefully our friends in Washington, I'm proud to see Congressman Pfluger's effort there and others that are taking this up. But it does take both chambers, as we know. And then the president's got to sign it. So we've got a little ways to go here.
Todd, Texas is, correct me if I'm wrong on this, just looking at my notes, number one in the nation for LNG. The top terminals are here in Texas, and also one of the top exporters to, you know, Europe, to the rest of the world, which originally you had, what, Germany, a number of European countries, you know, countries that were NATO members that actually had to rely on energy, had a gas from the very entity for which NATO was created, which seems, you know, a little bit oxymoronic and against, you know, purpose. We talk with them, persuade them to stop buying dirty Russian gas, buy our clean, environmentally, you know, extracted, because we have the cleanest extraction methods and have pioneered that even before government regulation. And that it seems like it was temporary. They made that shift, what, within the past few years? And then now all of a sudden, talk a little bit about that destabilization, because where you mentioned this, they have to get energy from somewhere else. I mean, are they going to go back to Russia?
Well, let's hope not, right? They're already having other conversations with other countries, we know. The thing about America and our allies, look, the entire Gulf Coast is a tremendous resource that we have. Texas, our friends in Louisiana, we have infrastructure that is second to none. It's world class. And this is the reason that we're able to do this. And Dana, we're able to do this. We're able to provide much more than we ever need. For instance, in Texas, we produce, I want to say, 34 billion cubic feet a day.
That's a lot,
right? And so we're exporting much more than we use in our state, much more than we're using in our surrounding areas that we're exporting to domestically. And it's because we have this global reach that people are looking to America. It's the reason that we've had billions of investments. These LNG export facilities are extremely costly. There are thousands and thousands of people whose lives are improved because they have these jobs, construction jobs that last several years in the making for just one train. We have people that are being bused to these locations to build these facilities. Mm-hmm. And now this halt on these export permits just says, you know, we really didn't mean it. And that's just, it's kowtowing to an extreme limited group of activists who, if they get their way, that means people are going to pay more for products here. They're going to have a shortage of products because it's going to interfere with the entire production phase and supply chain.
Do we know what proposed projects are going to be ultimately affected with this?
Well, the good news is we already have some permits, so there are some projects that are not being impacted. But we know there's some additional trains that will be impacted up and down the Texas-Louisiana coast. And those are the areas that I'm concentrating on mostly, because that's our immediate allies. A lot of Texas gas goes to Louisiana to be exported from their exports as well. And so, I mean, you look in Texas, we know we have Cheniere in Corpus Christi. We have Freeport LNG that's operating today. We have two projects in Beaumont, Jefferson County. One is the Golden Pass LNG. It's going to continue to be built. We have Sempra LNG. They have plans that are being built out today, but they have additional phases that they've discussed. Most LNG companies are discussing future plans. And even in the Brownsville area of Texas, we have projects that like NextDecade has gotten some permits, so they're going to be underway. But it's building the pipeline, building the infrastructure that's being jeopardized right here, and it's chasing dollars away that could come to the United States, and it's putting those things in jeopardy. I don't want to be an over-alarmist and to suggest that this single action today, if it's repealed relatively soon, will cause irreparable harm. Does it cause harm? Absolutely. But we have sophisticated companies. They're smart. They know how to deliver. They're keeping us with all the energy resources we need. But if it goes on and this thing perpetuates, that's when we get into real danger. And not only does it impact our LNG facilities, but many of these companies are exploring with other types of energy sources like hydrogen. They're looking at that. I'm here to tell you today that I believe these types of decisions about halting export permits impact other forms of activity, carbon capture and storage facilities that have been planned along the Gulf Coast. Our entire manufacturing sector in the United States is responding to consumer needs around the world. All of these types of things get caught up when you have kinks in the works here that derails good common sense policy.
It's just crazy. Absolutely crazy that this is happening. Talking with Todd Staples of Texoga. Todd, so appreciate you joining us and kind of, you know, giving us some insight on all of this. I have a feeling we're going to be talking with you again here soon, because sadly, it doesn't look like this is going to end anytime soon, especially if they're not even looking to take this measure up till next month. Goodness, a lot can happen then. But I appreciate you joining us. Thank you.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
And that's Todd Staples with Texoga, and you can find them as well. We got all the info up there. Throw it up in the lower third, and we'll have this up on YouTube too. But that's the thing. Jennifer Granholm's remarks, which he kind of had touched on without saying her name, you know, saying that well, they have to look at these analyses before they make they've been looking at this stuff. It's not like they decide, you know what, I'm going to build a terminal, or I'm going to export this, or I'm just going to do something, you know, all willy nilly and not have, like, you know, a multi-year plan for it. It's so dumb. It's petty partisan politics because he's mad over the border and they're looking to hit Texas. That's what it is.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Let's remember who the hell we are. We're the United States of America.
So that was Joe Biden at the National Prayer Breakfast.
I'm surprised he knew that.
Talking about who the hell we are. Let's remember who we were. He's just not. Look, I'll tell you, when the last year at the State of the Union, watching him from the side of the podium, and I was on his left side, he was holding on to that thing like for support, not like how some people just sort of will grab the lectern, and he was just so slow, and he was shuffling to get up. I mean, I've had members of my family that have had, you know, pretty catastrophic strokes, and when they are recovering and they go through these issues, it just looked so familiar to me because of that. And it's like, it seems to get worse and worse. I don't know. I'm telling you, got to be ready for this. Tomorrow, one of the things that we're going to do a deep dive on is how unbelievably broke the Republican Party is. Not just the RNC nationally, but state by state parties, especially in a number of these battleground states where you need that money to help make momentum. You have to have that money so you can do media buys and you can make sure that you got phone banks running and that you have materials for canvassing and for registering voters and all of that. And a lot of these parties, we've touched on it before, are either absolutely broke or they are near broke. And in the meantime, Democrats are storing up hundreds of millions of dollars and they have not even started with launching their ad campaign yet. They've just been very quietly gobbling up media buys. Very quietly. That's what they've been doing. Gobbling up airtime, trying to shut out any kind of Republican purchase. They've been gobbling everything up. So it's bad. Because what have they been spending their money on? What's the RNC been spending their money on? We're going to talk to Jennifer Van Laar tomorrow, because she's detailed into this deep dive. For instance, just give you a teaser, $1.5 million on floral arrangements. What? Yeah. I mean, the RNC is not doing well, financially or otherwise. Remember back in 2010, Michael Steele got into a lot of trouble because donors found out that a lot of their money was going towards things like floral arrangements, private jets, going to tropical places to have their member meetings. And they were used to a lot of frugality. In fact, they had said that previously they would have Republicans that would complain if there were even flowers on the tables. Now it's like they've gone above and beyond. Champagne tastes on a beer budget. Limousines. They spend more on limousines than they do on get out the vote texting. They have spent more on flowers than they have on some of the get out the vote stuff. I mean, this is just, these are hard numbers. This is a major, major problem. And I don't know what they're going to do to remedy it. And then you have, you know, Trump, I think he brought in, New York Post had the story, he raised $43 million and has $50 million with legal bills. It's going to get bad, guys. And they have not even started. They haven't even started campaigning. They're just doing light stuff. They haven't even kicked it off. You're going to see efforts at shifting polls. You're going to see all of the, I mean, everything's going to be papered with ads. It is going to be a full on onslaught in the RNC. I've never seen them so unprepared. We got to talk about that tomorrow. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right. It is Representative Ayanna Pressley. She's talking about how racist Walgreens is for shutting down their stores in some of the highest crime areas. Listen to what she says.
This time on Warren Street in Roxbury, a community that is 85% Black and Latino. This closure is a part of a larger trend of abandoning low-income communities like the previous closures in Mattapan and Hyde Park, both in the Massachusetts 7th. When a Walgreens leaves a neighborhood, they disrupt the entire community and they take with them baby formula, diapers, asthma inhalers, life-saving.
Wait, is she describing the looters? Because that's what they're taking. They're taking diapers and formula and stuff from Walgreens without paying. So is she expecting them just to bleed money forever?
Yeah, she expects Walgreens to operate as a loss because she doesn't understand what a business is.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Exactly. Folks, that does it for us this evening. Make sure you find us on YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe. I'll be with the Dallas Jewish Conservatives this evening. You can find information on Facebook, socials, all that good stuff. And in the meantime, I'll be back with you tomorrow. Have a great night.